It's going to be based on a book by Kyle Eidelman, who is the fellow that wrote the book that we just got finished a series of studying on, that we've been focusing on, being fans of Jesus, or being followers of Jesus, not fans, called Not a Fan. So some good material here, and we're going to do a study taking a look at what are the gods that we need to dethrone out of our lives. What are the gods that are at war within us that we need to get rid of? And so I hope that you will look forward to and really take this study seriously as we look at the kinds of things that are warring within us for control of our lives. We started out this morning talking about the Ten Commandments. Hot topic today in a lot of ways, but let me ask you this: how well do you know the Ten Commandments? Okay, didn't know you were going to have a test this morning. Take out a piece of paper and a pencil. Now, what we say to the teachers, they say that to the kids. Okay, pop quiz this morning. How well do you know the Ten Commandments? Okay, the first one is have no other gods. Okay, these are just kind of abbreviated in here, okay? The second one, make no idols, okay? Do not misuse the Lord's name. Keep the Sabbath, okay? Honor your parents. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. And do not covet. That's just kind of a modern, you know, quick summary, so to speak, of the Ten Commandments. You know, we don't talk a whole lot about the Ten Commandments, do we? Because we don't focus on them because we're under the law of Christ. Well, I'm hoping that I can dispel a little bit of that in terms of not really feeling like the Ten Commandments are that important for us today, because they really, really are important. When we think about the Ten Commandments, you think about the idea of following the rules, right? We have this list of rules that we are to follow. And the list of the ten, these are really kind of like the most sacred rules to live by. In fact, there are some people who say, if you just keep the Ten Commandments, then you'll be okay. John Quincy Adams was quoted as saying, "The Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount contain my religion." And that's the way a lot of people look at it, you see? As long as I keep the Ten Commandments, then everything will be okay. I'll go to heaven. See? Let's think about it for a moment in terms of the rich young ruler. Okay, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16, this young man comes to Jesus on this occasion, and he says to him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Okay, he wants to know. Okay, tell me what I have to do so I can make sure that I go to heaven. And Jesus responds to him, "Obey the commandments." And then the young man says to him, "Which ones?" Okay? As if this is a list of suggestions. I want you to imagine for just a moment that here's a Marine drill sergeant talking to his recruits, and he says to them, "Now, the primary thing that you've got to remember is obey orders." And one of the recruits says, "Which ones, sir?" Okay, what is the Marine drill sergeant, how's he going to respond to that? Okay, probably something just like this. Which ones? You see, I think it's part of human nature. We want to look at a list of things and say, "Oh, let's see, that applies, that doesn't apply, this, you know." And we want to pick and choose sometimes, don't we? Okay. And especially when it comes to the Ten Commandments. There really are at the forefront, at a battleground today in America. There's all kinds of legal battles that are going on around the country in different places over public display of the Ten Commandments, especially on government property. You see, there are those who don't want them out there. And so there's a lot of battles that are taking place over that. And so they really are, we're very aware of the Ten Commandments, at least, you know, in some kind of a form like this or what have you. But at the same time, I wonder how much we are really aware as to what they really mean in our lives. Do we really pay a lot of attention to the Ten Commandments. When it comes to this idea of idols and idolatry, aren't these first couple of commands really kind of obsolete today? I mean, are they really that significant that we need to be worried about them and paying attention to them? You see, one of the things, I don't know if you've ever realized this, if you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments have to do with our relationship with God. Okay? That's what they really are all about. Okay? Do not worship any other gods. Do not make any idols. Don't misuse the name of God. And keep the Sabbath. All of those have to do with relationship to God. But again, you kind of look at these things and you go back, and who makes idols today? And I'm talking about, I mean, you go to foreign countries and yeah, that's so, but here in America, who does that kind of stuff? You see? Aren't they kind of outdated, and isn't that really kind of so Old Testament concept? You see, of bowing down before golden calves and those kinds of things? What about the Sabbath? We're not supposed to keep the Sabbath today. We're supposed to worship on the first day of the week, aren't we? So isn't that pretty well outdated also? And so I think that we might tend sometimes to look at the Ten Commandments, and again, especially these first four, as being, well, yeah, I know they're there, but they don't really pertain to us, do they? You see? But indeed, the principles are still very valid today. We need to ask ourselves, in other words, are there still things, other things, that are on the throne of your heart? Things that don't need to be there. You see? Have you gotten rid of all those things? That's what this study is all about. How about this OMG? You do a lot of texting, you know, and so forth. You're on there and you hear that, and you see it all the time. And of course, the statement itself, oh my God. You see? Is that not a way of misusing the name of the Lord? You see? When we use that kind of thing. And what about our worship? We worship on the first day of the week, not the Sabbath, but is our worship, as Jesus has told us, in spirit and in truth? Do we really pay a lot of attention to that? Do we just come to worship because it's what we're supposed to do? Or do we seek to worship God on the first day of the week in spirit and in truth? You see, those principles are still very valid today, aren't they? Matthew chapter 22 verse 37, Jesus on this occasion was asked a question by one of the teachers of the law. Of all the commandments that are there, which is the greatest commandment? Again, it's this idea of just kind of narrow all those things down to one, Jesus, so that it'll be easier for me to keep everything, right? You see? So of all the commandments that are out there, tell me which one is the greatest commandment. And Jesus responds to that question by saying this, but love the Lord your God with all your heart, okay, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, okay? And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. And look at what he says here, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. All of it. You see? And if you think about it, doesn't this really take us right back to the Ten Commandments, where it says, what, the first four are all about our relationship with God. So, love the Lord your God with all. You see? It really is a definition of those first four. It summarizes a total and complete devotion to God, including the duty to obey how much of His commands? All of His commands. When Jesus gave what we refer to as the Great Commission, okay, He said, go into all the world and make disciples. baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey what?
All
or everything I have commanded you. You see? There's a significance in the word all, isn't there? You see? We need to be obeying all. And the heart and the soul and the mind, that concept that was written into the law, Deuteronomy chapter 6, is where this comes from, you see, was a reference to the whole being, that you love God with your whole being, with everything within you. And so has that changed today? You see, will God accept us to love Him with only part of our heart, soul, mind, or strength? Now, so you see, it really is still valid today. The second greatest command is just like it. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? It's still valid today. This one covers the other six, doesn't it? That all have to do with how we live in relationship to other people. See, go back and look at the list there, and what is it all about? The first four is about us living in relationship to God. The next six are all about how we live with one another. See, and how we are to treat one another. So, again, are the Ten Commandments still valid today? Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, Jesus, in these texts, really validates that fact. See? That we need to pay attention to the principles and the teachings of those Ten Commandments because they really are all about relationship. Relationship to God and relationship with one another. See? Talk about this idea of, again, idols and idol worship and kneeling down and bowing down before idols and so forth. The gods that are at war within us are at war for the throne of your heart, in my heart. That's what the war is really all about. You see? But what we need to understand and what this study, I hope, is going to help us understand is that those gods don't have to come in the form of these, you know, golden, you know, statues and so forth and images of cosmic deities that, you know, from mythology like, you know, this one who is the god, the Roman god of war. You see? I think sometimes because we think of idol worship as just that kind of thing, we go, well, we don't have a problem with that, do we? When in actuality, what we need to realize is that the idols that are there today that we can very easily fall into worshiping don't have those kinds of identities. But they have identities that are so ordinary that we oftentimes don't even recognize them. And so it's not necessarily we would look at the statue and go, I would never bow down and worship one of those, but I can't wait to get back in front of my big flat screen 55-inch TV. See? Or what about the golden piggy bank and what it contains? And that be an idol in our lives, you see? Things like sports and the Super Bowl and all of the things that are surrounding that, or is our lives so focused on those things that they become our primary concern and thus becoming idols? And then, of course, there's the American Idol. I mean, how much more plain does it need to be? You see? There it is. Do we have a problem with idol worship today? Kyle Eidelman makes this statement in the early part of his book. He says, what if we do our kneeling and our bowing with our imaginations, with our checkbooks, our search engines, and our calendars? Think about that for just a moment. Let it sink in. What are we kneeling down and bowing before? What master? And you find yourself, if you really stop and think about it, what master do you find yourself kneeling and bowing before. See? The gods are at war. They really, really are. They're at war for our hearts, for control of our hearts, and thus control of our lives. We need to be looking and paying attention to, you see, what's going on in here, lest we find ourselves violating the Ten Commandments, having other gods before Him. Who or what's on the throne of your heart? That's an important question that I want to challenge you to be thinking about as we do this study. To really take a good hard look at your own heart. You see, because the problem really is this. You think about the sin that you struggle with in your life, and anybody that says, oh, I don't have any sin I struggle with, you're a liar. Okay? You're just deceiving yourself. Okay, the Bible says that I didn't. You know, 1 John tells us anyone who says he doesn't sin deceives himself, right? So, you know, we really need to take a look at it from that perspective and realize and say, look, if there's some sin, whatever the sin is that I'm struggling with in my life, okay, then there's some kind of a God behind that. You see, there's some kind of an idol that is controlling that aspect of our life. And we really need to find that out and get rid of it and dethrone whatever that is. And sometimes it's just simply us. See? You'll never overcome the sin problems that you have in your life until you dethrone whatever God is there. Okay? But when we do that, you see, we get rid of whatever idol, whatever God is there, we replace it with Jesus. Okay? The question is, are you ready to do that? I'm going to tell you up front that this study that we're going to do, this study we are embarking on, it's in a lot of ways, it's like the last one we just did. It's tough. Okay? And I am going to challenge you as the same way I'm challenging myself. Okay, to take it seriously and to take a really good, hard look and to see what's there. Okay, and that's not easy to do. As I started this study on my own, I quickly came to realize some idols that I have in my own life that I'm working on to dethrone. I have to. Because those things are affecting me and relationships that I have. And I'm going to be challenging you to do the same thing. Okay? Look and to see what idols are fighting for control or maybe are already sitting on the throne of your heart. What are your gods? That's the question that we're going to be searching for. To help you to identify the gods that are at war for the throne of your heart. And not only to identify them, but then also to find the ways that we can dethrone them. Okay? Because until we do, until we get those out of our lives and out of our hearts, then we're going to be worshiping something or someone other than God. We're never going to be what He wants us to be and what He created us to be as long as those idols are in control. So I hope that as we do this study, that you will accept the challenge to look with me at the gods that are at war for our hearts. We have a song that has been chosen for us to sing. I know some of you are looking at your watches going, is he really done already? Yeah, of course, we got food in the next room, right? The ladies in there are probably panicking now because they're going, we're not ready yet. I just wanted to take the time this morning to introduce this and help you and to challenge you with where we're going over the next several weeks. And we're going to stand and sing a song that that Wes has chosen for us as an invitation song to be able to think while we're singing this song, to think about it and go, okay, wait a minute here. Maybe I've never really thought about this or that in my life in that way, but maybe I need to start doing that. Or are there some things that already perhaps you recognize that you're struggling with and you need some help with to overcome, to dethrone in your life? We want to be able to help you to do that. That's what this study is all about. We can't help you with it if we don't know what's going on. So we offer an invitation that anyone that needs prayers or encouragement or guidance, forgiveness of sin, whatever in your life, you can come up and we'll help you with that. I'll be up here in the front. Ted will be in the back. If you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him, he'll be back there to receive you. Let's begin together dethroning the gods that are at war for our hearts. Let's stand together and sing.
Life and let it be consecrated.